there, and once again, you're very welcome to Terrace Talk. We see Fogarty with you until 8 o'clock, and I can tell you we have a cracking programme tonight, because I have a guest in tonight. He is one of the unsung heroes of, not Kerry football, but the GAA. I put it you like that. A man that I have always admired greatly back through the years, a man who has put so much through his hands in relation to football and pupils and everything. What a story. What a story. Stay with us. You're very welcome anyway. And if you're listening in Sunday morning, remember that this is a repeat. If you're listening Sunday morning, you can say that went out last Tuesday night. So, and if you're listening on the World Wide Web, you're also more than welcome. And you can check out the Terrace Talk website there, of course, on www.terracetalkireland.com. And that queue that we're putting up from Ken Doherty, signed by Ken Doherty, that's coming down tomorrow. You have one last chance. Check into the website and you might win that queue. Check into www.terracetalkireland.com and you could win the special queue signed by the great Ken Doherty. Now, talking about Ken Doherty, he was to be in Killarney tomorrow night. Unfortunately, my good friend Mr. Snooker, Connie Sullivan, rang me late today. A bereavement in Ken Doherty's family, and he had to cancel his appearance in Killarney tomorrow night. So no Ken Doherty in Killarney tomorrow night. He'll come back at a later date, unfortunately, but we send our sympathies indeed to the Doherty family. Now, if you want to, if you get anyone that gets in their comment tonight of any description, you'll be in for that wonderful book by Valerie O'Sullivan. 227 pages of I Am Kerry. Remember last week we said we'd give it away between last week and this week. It's a wonderful book. It's flying out the bookshops. I Am of Kerry by Valerie O'Sullivan. You can win that tonight by just giving in a comment. It's as simple as that. You can also win the voucher for €60, and you can win a pair of tickets for Elvis on stage in the Gleneagle later on in the year. So there are three in the INEC. Elvis is there later on in the year. Elvis on stage, that our own Emerald Elvis, of course. So you'll enjoy that. So Valerie O'Sullivan's book, it's absolutely superb. The voucher for €60. So all you have to do is to get in. Now, my guest tonight, as I said, is a man who's been teaching in St. Michael's College in Stowell for 44 years. He's retiring in August. He's a wonderful story. John Flaherty, you're very welcome to Terrace Talk.
Thank you very much, Rishi. Great pleasure to be here.
It's great to have you here, John, because we often met when I'd be doing a bit of refereeing. You'd be coming off the field with Field Rangers, and I might be after giving a wrong decision, and you'd always come up to me and say, Rishi, nice and calm, you'd just mind to rebuke me slightly. We often cross paths, John.
We did, Wishy. I wasn't going to bring that up, actually, but I can remember losing a county final, actually, that you refereed.
Yeah, well, no, it's right, yeah. Do you know, it's the best. Do you know, John, isn't it amazing?
It is,
I find that it's the one you lose that you always remember, isn't it?
Well, that's true. Yeah,
isn't it?
There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. John, it's great to have you. Come here. You're teaching 44 years. Did you always want to be a teacher?
I did. I can't ever remember a time from the time I was a young teenager when I didn't want to be a teacher. I haven't the slightest idea why, because there was never a teacher in my family before. Me, except, well, my brother was all right, but he was only just 2 years in front of me. But back along the line, none of the family were in education. But I don't know why, but I always wanted to be one, and I must say I've enjoyed it greatly for the 44 years I've been there.
And by the way, Linda's waiting for your call tonight at 066-712-3666, 066-712-3666, or you can text us on 087-697-9797, 697-9797. Johnny, St. Michael's Listowel, you went in there 44 years ago as a teacher, but you had been there as a pupil. St. Michael's itself, tell us something about the school itself, Johnny, because I don't know anything about it.
Well, the school was founded in 1879. The bishop sent some priests over to Listowel to found a school, a branch of the diocesan seminary. And when they came to Listowel, they were looking around for suitable sites, and a man called Gerald McKelligott from Mount Rivers, he took them up to see what was an old fever hospital. And that's what it was. It had been built in the early 1820s, and it had been there right through the famine. And probably hundreds of people had died there during the famine. There was a pathway down the centre in front of the college and along the sides. And the place got so packed during the famine with dying people that they used to have them lying on straw along the walls. You know, the wall alongside the sports field.
I do indeed, John, yeah.
And they were taken from there out to Temple Bond Cemetery in the Ballybunnan Road and just dumped into just mass graves, really. They were dying so fast. But they got a lease of the building at that time, and they moved in there, and they've been there ever since.
You went in there as a pupil, John?
I did. I went in 1949 as a pupil. I spent 6 years there. 6 years was the normal span at that time. And the first 4 years I was there was pretty rough going. It was all exams and getting results and that, and there was a great deal of pressure on people to do that. Of course, people paid for education in those days. That's what people forget nowadays. It wasn't very much. It was about £10 or £12 a year. But I mean, £10 or £12 a year back at 1949 after the war was a lot of money to find. And they used to stagger the fee out over the year. They would even allow some of the country lads to bring their fees in rails of turf to provide heating in the school.
Are you serious?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
And of course, you weren't a country boy. Tell us where you came from and who was in your family.
Well, I came from the town of Listowel. Like, my father was Mike Mick O'Flaherty. He was a tailor. My mother was a dressmaker. I have one brother and two sisters. And we were from Listowel town. So we had to pay. But I must say the priest who was there at the time, Father O'Connor, he was very generous with people. If they found it difficult, he would allow them to spread out the fee over the entire year. There was no such thing as having to come in and pay the whole lot at the beginning of the year. Very, very few people could do that.
John, you said your late mother, I presume your mother
is dead. Yes, my mother,
said your late mother was a dressmaker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I suppose people, I always have this thing in my mind, people in those times, she worked hard, I suppose, in bed light. What are your memories of her?
Yeah, well, my memories of both of them was they worked in the same room. My father was a tailor, and he had a bench, and he used to sit on the bench making suits of clothes. My mother used to sit at a machine alongside him, and she would make dresses or various other types of women's clothing. She actually made when the Ballybunion Pipe Band started in about 1950s, she made the kilts for the Ballybunion Pipe Band.
I suppose
something she was always very proud of.
Wasn't it? This is a lovely memory. I suppose, John, your memories of the two of them are working away night and day.
They are, yes. They were very, very hardworking people.
Yeah.
But we were very lucky. They set a great value on education.
Yeah.
And we all got a good education. There are three teachers in my family. My brother's a primary school teacher and one of my sisters is.
Yeah. Usually in this programme, I always forget one particular thing I'm not going to know, because we're going to jump on from your mum and dad.
Okay.
And tell us who you're married to and how many are in your own family. Because we always forget that and tell us that.
Well, I married the Listowel woman, Angela Hayes. Her father is from Kilcolgan down near Tarbert, and her mother is from Tannavallan, Listowel. And she has one brother who's a teacher also, and a sister who's in America. We have two children, Coleman and Alicia. Coleman is working now, and Alicia is a student doing art in the Crawford in Cork.
And John, just before we came in tonight, we were inside and having a cup of tea,
mm-hmm.
and there was a lovely little scenario I got a photograph.
Yeah.
Tell us what happened, because no one knows this.
Well, a young girl came in, and she introduced her to me, and he said, this is
Linda.
Linda, and she's just... She's
on the phones tonight.
On the phones tonight, but she's...
And I asked her then
what she was doing, and she said she was studying to be a primary school teacher.
Yeah.
And she's about to start teaching, and I'm retiring from it after 44 years.
Amazing.
So she stuck us to stand together for a photograph.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's going to do with the photograph.
It'll be going up on the Terrace Talk website, John.
Oh,
and
God.
The people all over the world will be looking at it, because next Friday we'll hit 500,000 viewers on the Terrace Talk website. However, we're not here to talk websites.
Okay.
When you went to the school then, John, were you always going to be... Was it in your mind to be teacher then?
It was, I think, from very early on.
Yeah.
I can't remember any time I didn't want to be a teacher. I don't know what sparked it off, really. But I did want to be a teacher, and I always wanted to be a secondary school teacher rather than a primary school teacher. But to do that, I was fortunate, really. I won a scholarship to Galway University, and that enabled me to get there. And I qualified there, and I came back and I got a job straight away teaching in St. Michael's, and I've been there ever since.
What year did you start that, John?
I started in 1959.
1959, you started your teaching. And when we come back, we're going to talk about your years teaching and a lot more. Just before I go, anyone out there knows anybody who were the founder members of the Kerry Men's Association in Dublin? Anyone know anything at all about that? The Kerrymen's Association in Dublin, who were the founder members? We'd love to know that. John, a bit of hurling going on above in North Kerry. The 11s of Kerry is on up there. The Lee Strand Senior and Junior Perpetual Cups there on the Abidorny GA Club on May the 30th to June the 7th, 2003. The Abidorny men up there promoting hurling, and there's a 15-a-side exhibition match, Limerick Masters versus the Kerry Over 40s. That's on the Bank Holiday Monday, the 2nd of June at 7:30. Lads, get us in the Kerry Over 40s team and we'll call it out in Telestock, because you know what? I'd love to hear it. That's the 11s of Kerry and the May the 30th. Watch out for that. We're going for a short break. 0667123666 or 087-697-9797. Linda, young girl going to become a teacher, is waiting for your call. Stay with us on Telestock. And you're very welcome back to Terrace Talk. Johnny Flaherty is my guest tonight, 0667-1236. Johnny, comments coming in already for you. To Angela and Johnny, warmest wishes on your retirement from Tom and Stella in Wrighton Tarbert. All the best on your retirement from Helen and Jerry Duggan, Ballybunin Road, Listowel. DJ Carey deserved the recognition he got on the late Mary O'Connell from Knockanally, Castle Island. DJ did indeed, a wonderful, wonderful hurler. Best of luck on your retirement, Pat Guiney, Colcarrig, Listowel. Pat put many a great footballer through his hands. We'll be coming to that. Best wishes to John from Robert Bunnan. He put St. Michael's Field Rangers in North Kerry on the football map. People like John are very much needed and appreciated. And Patsy Skin O'Connell and all the Connells in Tarbert and everyone in Tarbert, our old friend the Skin, one of my favourite people, the Skin Connell, sends you his best wishes in your retirement, John. Johnny, you went in and took up teaching then. Was it a happy time? Was teaching happy for you? Looking back over all those years, was it happy days?
Yeah, it was. I enjoyed it greatly, I must say. Even though, I'll tell you, we always say teachers don't get well paid, and they don't. But I started teaching for £4 a week. Yeah. It's hard to imagine that nowadays, but I did. But I liked it. I loved it, really. There were only six teachers in the school when I started. It was a relatively small school. It's much, much bigger now. There's about 23 or 24. And we have far more pupils than we had then. But I loved it, really. And I've been very happy. I've liked teaching, and I've liked teaching in the place I was in, and I got paid for doing it, so I suppose I don't have too much to complain about.
You don't,
truly.
Johnny, I'm are you glad to be retiring? Are you sorry to be retiring?
Well, I'd put it like this, Rishi. If I had the choice, I'd have kept going, but I didn't have the choice. It was a decision that was made for me. Yeah. I had reached the age of retirement, and I didn't have to tell the government that I was retiring. They told me. Yeah. You see, in a way it's a pity, because if you're up on your feet, thanks be to God as I am, and if you're in pretty good health and you're still enjoying it and you feel you have something to contribute, I think it's a pity in a way that people just get kind of chopped off like that. And but I mean, I don't mind. I have plenty to do, and I've always been very adaptable. I can find things to do and to enjoy myself.
With all your experience now, Johnny, what advice would you give young people starting out in life, which say going into school, starting off in school, and the other end then leaving school? What piece of golden advice would you give those people?
Well, my golden advice, Rishi, isn't very golden. Well, I would advise anybody to use the talents that they have, that they're given by God, to the absolute optimum. Now, I mean, education, academic education isn't for everybody, and that's the problem with schools. I would say to anybody, let nobody ever tell you that you're stupid. I don't believe that there are stupid people. I believe there are all sorts of different intelligences around the place. I mean, the perceived wisdom like is that I'd be intelligent because I did well in school. But I mean, there are things that I can't do at all that other people can do. No, the other people can
what
do
What did you teach, John?
I taught everything, Rishi, but mainly Irish.
When you went into class, John, you know, all down through those years, every morning you'd walk in that door, 9 o'clock, whatever time it would be, would you have a preconceived idea of, this is the way I'm going to teach today, this is the way I want to get my message across to these young people?
Well, it's difficult to say that. You can't go in with a preconceived idea, because you're dealing with different people, and you're dealing with different types of people, and you have to react to what happens within the classroom. Of course, you have to have lessons prepared, and you have to have a certain course that you must get finished at the end of the year. But at the same time, you have to be also take on board the different points of view that come up in a classroom. And if somebody wants to discuss something with you and they feel it's important, you have to listen to them and you have to talk to them.
And everyone is a different. Everyone is individual.
They are. Yeah. Absolutely, you know.
Everybody, isn't it amazing?
Quite rightly.
John, so, there's a pair of winkers there. Look, will you put them on you for your ears, the way you can hear what's happening? Because we'll be talking about all the great students that have gone through St. Michael's.
Okay.
But one of them did us very proud during the week because he was cycling in the Ross.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He was finished one of the top Irishmen in it. And I had him in for Telestock one time here. Who is he?
Eugene Moriarty.
You're welcome to the programme.
Thanks very much, Wishy, and congratulations to Johnny Flaherty on his imminent retirement.
Now, what would you say about this man, Huge?
Well, he spent plenty of time trying to beat Irish into me, anyway, amongst other people, yeah.
Did he succeed?
He did, but, when you don't get to practice it.
What special talents had he as a teacher, Huge?
Be
very careful now, Eugene.
I have to be very political and diplomatic about this one, don't I?
Yeah.
But I think he was a great person from a sports person's point of view.
Yeah.
I mean, I always received immense encouragement from him for my sport. I mean, he tried on numerous occasions to get me out kicking the ball around the place, but after I left the national school here in Listowel, I kind of veered more into riding the bike and stuff. But as I say, any of the lads that ever did any of the cross-country rowing, football, no matter what it was, he was always very, very supportive.
Would you say, Huge, that what he said to you in class, or what he taught you, or what he advised you, helped you, we'd say, in your cycling career later, in some way?
Oh, certainly. It doesn't matter what you do, that it takes a lot of hard work, and, in most cases, years of hard work, and eventually, if you're lucky, it'll pay off. It just doesn't come overnight.
Yeah. And come here, before we finish up, Huge, you had a hard week in the Raw, a difficult race, the conditions were poor, but you did outstandingly well. Were you happy with your performance?
I'm certainly content with my performance. I am a little bit disappointed that I didn't win a stage. I mean, that was one of my main goal going into the race was a stage win, if not two. And then the overall, I was unlucky with the overall in that the day into Clifton, the weather was just horrible and the cold just went through me. I just had to stop at the side of the road and put on a heavier jacket and lost 15 minutes on general classification as a result. But there's not much you can do about that.
Where are you heading for now, Huge?
I'm leaving for Belgium on Friday morning. We're doing a professional race out there with a Belgian team. There's two or three of us going out for that.
And we wish you the best, Johnny.
Absolutely,
Johnny. You've put great sportsmen through Listowel, but Eugene is an exceptional cyclist.
Well, he is, absolutely. I mean, it's not something that we do in the school,
Yeah.
But I mean, I've always admired Eugene because he was a very good scholar when he was going to school, and he did very well in college afterwards, but then he decided he wanted to be a cyclist, and he pursued that with the same kind of single-minded ambition that you need to do if you want to succeed.
And isn't it great to be following one of your own?
Yeah.
This is great. Huge thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, Richie.
And listen to me, and the best of luck to you, my friend, and ride safely, as the fella says.
I will indeed. Thanks, Richie.
Okay, Huge.
Thank you.
Eugene Moriarty there, one of Kerry's top sports people, top cyclist. Eugene, always lovely to talk to him. Johnny, listen, we'd be bloody well killed if we don't start talking about football before the programme finishes up. Anyway, listen to me, we'll come back to other things after, because I want to talk to you about writers and priests and everything. But there was one particular year in the school when you were training teams. You actually trained seven teams in the school in one year, and you went to seven finals.
Well,
your involvement and your love for football, where did it come from, and why did you do all that work? What did football and sport mean to your life as a teacher and a person?
Well, I mean, when I was in the college, the first 4 years I was there, as I told you, were pretty grim. We didn't have any football in the school, really. And then John Mulnow came to school as a teacher, and he introduced football. The last two years I was there were brilliant. The difference it made, I mean, there was enjoyment in the school, and there was a great sense of excitement about looking forward to matches and that. And I resolved, like, when I came back to school myself, to do the same thing, you know, because that's what games and sport in the school, they tend to relax young lads, you know, and they enjoy themselves a bit more. Schools are not very entertaining places, you know, for a lot of people. And I've known fellas who stayed on in school simply to play football, and I know lads who did the leaving and who would have left much earlier if they weren't actually, if there wasn't football in the school for them. You know, I found it a great help to me personally as a teacher, because you establish a completely different type of relationship with young lads when you're out training football teams than you do, let's say, when they're inside in a classroom. And a lot of pupils who might have been difficult with other people, I had no problem with them because they were on football teams and you had a different kind of relationship with them.
Johnny, did you find pupils that would be difficult and they were going through their adolescent years like we all went through and times were difficult for them? Did you find that the fact that you trained them to play football and you were able to talk to them on the field in the corner and maybe pull them aside in the classroom after and have a chat with them about football, did you find going through your years that that helped to steer fellas on the right road?
I think it did, yeah. I've no doubt it did, because, and I think any teacher who's involved in games, and there were other people involved in games in the school, I'll talk about them in a few minutes, but definitely, if you have that kind of relationship with a fellow out in the football field that you can kind of pull him aside and put your arm over his shoulders and say to him, look, don't be doing the fool, you're going to get yourself put off. It's not very difficult then to take that into a classroom, and if some guy's in trouble with the teacher, that you can pull him aside and say to him, look, you're going to get into trouble, you're going to get kicked out of the place, or you're not going to be able to finish if you don't cop onto yourself. And they're more likely to listen to you if they're used to listening to you on the football field.
What's the importance of sports in schools, John?
Well, it's all sorts of importance, Rishi. I mean, obviously, there's the sporting element, which we all think in terms of games as just competition-like, but we forget it's sport, and sport is enjoyment, and enjoyment is relaxation, and, I mean, that's very important. There's also the question of fitness. I mean, if you're fit and you're well, there's the kind of the healthy mind and the healthy body, which is, I mean, is very valid and very true. And also then, you know, when you're training for a football team, you're actually, there's a lot of life skills involved in training for football matches, because just as in life you have to work hard if you want to get to the top, you have to do the same in sport. You have to work as an individual to get to the top, and then you have to learn how to deal with other people. You're playing on a team, you mightn't be talking to the fellow next door to you, but if he's in a good position, you're still going to have to give him the ball.
Johnny, at the other end of the scale, just a quick question now, and we won't go into it. Do you think that inter-county footballers now and hurlers in the top counties, do you think it's gone too serious? Just an easy that question.
Yeah, I think it is.
It's too serious. Sport has gone out of it for them.
Well, it is, yes. And I think the training, the amount of training that they're doing is savage.
Yeah.
And it will cut most of their career short.
Yeah. Johnny, before we go for a break, rattle off a few men that went through your hands there, names that would come to mind in relation to Kerry football that went through your hands.
Well, there were half the golden years back line, Paddy O'Shea and Tim Kennelly and Jim Deanahan, and there were half the 1997 back line as well, Stephen Stack, Liam Flaherty, Eamon Breen, you know, Johnny Mulvihill, who's the current principal of the school, Gerard Leahy was on the Field Rangers team, Robert Bunyan captained the Kerry Minor team 1975, Brian Scanlon captain under 21 team a few years ago, Noel Kennelly is currently on the present Kerry team, Ty Kennelly, I mean, you could go on and on.
And Paddy went through your hands?
Well, Paddy was one of them.
Paddy was
one of them.
Yeah,
Paddy. He was.
Listen, there's things flying in here. Good wishes to Johnny. He was also a great athletic coach. And that comes from Dave Cassan from Mount Fert. We weren't going to put you were involved. Did you train
people? Well, Jerry Kiernan was the kind of the main runner that went through the school. Jerry, as you know, won Dublin City Marathon. He won quite a number of other marathons as well. He was ninth in the Olympic Marathon in Boston, I think, the year that John Tracy was second.
He broke the Irish record?
Yeah, never got credit for it, really, because of John Tracy's being second. But if John Tracy hadn't been there, everybody would have been raving about the fact that Jerry was ninth.
But Jerry, a great Olympian, one of the greatest Irish runners, as a matter of fact. I was contacted with him last week, arranging for a terrorist talk, trying to pin him down, because he'll have a wonderful story. Do you remember the day we were going to Munster School's Athletics Championship, and he had a greyhound in the boot to be delivered to somebody? The greyhound probably ran better than any of us. Do you remember that? A greyhound in the boot?
I do. We were going up to was at Ross Cray, I think, or some place like that, and I'd sold the greyhound to a fella called John Anderson up in Doon.
Yeah.
So we
toured.
Johnny is a gentleman of North Kerry football. DJ Mulville from my van. Thank you, DJ. Leo Griffin of Tralee rang to say that Matt Moriarty was one of the founder members of the Kerrymen's Association. Leo, thank you for that. Delighted to meet you the last day. Willie Guiney wants to wish Johnny all the best. He was a gentleman on and off the field. That's from the Morley Stoll. All the best on your retirement, Johnny, from the Keane family of Douai. And best wishes to Johnny from Owen McMahon to have down the stall up the Ashes.
Yeah, man.
The Ashes.
We're both Ashes, man. That was a street league team.
Wishing you a long and healthy retirement, Johnny, from Tom and Mary O'Connor, Cahadannon. We're going for a short break, so... Very welcome back to Terrace Talk, the celebration dance to honour the All-Ireland score set dancers. That's in the Drum Hall, Killarney, on Sunday the 1st of June. Proceedings start at 9 o'clock. That'll be some night, all three All-Ireland titles. He's at it again next Sunday, the great John Linehan, one of the greatest athletes the county has ever produced. He's going for his 15th Cam Tool win. He's won the Cam Tool All-Ireland race up the mountain 14 times, and he's going for it for the 15th time. That's next Sunday. Get out and see him, because he's the most spectacular, greatest athlete. He's after winning 2 months of races this year, and Tizana, you go out into Killoglen, turn left, and go out to the Glencar Road, and tis Lake Acoosay out there, and he'll be running there next Sunday, 12 o'clock to starting the Cam Tool race, the great John Linehan. There's only one of him, and I tell you, he'll be well worth. Johnny, we're going to the comment line because there's a man on the line who you put through your hands, and he lifted the Sam Maguire Cup, and he's now in the Dáil, and you put great men through your hands, and this man is Jimmy Dean. And Jim, you're welcome to the programme.
Thank you, Ishii.
Jim, I have no doubt you want to pay glowing tributes to a great man.
Well, absolutely. I think Johnny Flaherty was one of the greatest trainers and coaches that Kerry ever produced. And he put through many footballers through his hands. And I think that their performances afterwards, Kerry proved the effectiveness and the influence of Johnny's training and coaching. And could I say as well, when people didn't know anything about modern training techniques, that Johnny was at the forefront with his training techniques. And I remember at the time we were doing fartlek training, Carlos interval training, and he introduced us to weight training as well. So when it came to inter-county football, I certainly felt that I had an advantage over others because I had really a lot of well-measured scientific training done over the years, and that was because of Johnny and also John Munlow. They were two great men, two great teachers.
Jim, would I be exaggerating if I said, and I have been saying this, that he is actually one of the great unsung people of Kerry football?
Well, maybe to some people, but not to the people who went through his hands. And there are several of them, like Eamon Breen, Stephen Stack, Liam Flaherty, and myself, Tim Kennelly, and many more that went through his hands over the years. To us, he was, you know, the greatest, and we really respected him. And, of course, Paddy Shea. And Paddy always contacted Johnny, both when he was a player and since he became manager, for advice at various times. Johnny, for those of us that trained under him and knew him, holds a very, very, I think, we hold him in very high esteem.
I know. And Jim, listen to me, we are moving, and thanks for that, Jim. Thanks for
thank
that.
You very much,
thank you, Jimmy. Lovely to hear from you. We are moving on to another man up there. How could you have a programme about now, Kerry and Listowel, if you don't have one of the Canes? And there's only one Cane now that I met the other night at the match in Listowel. When Listowel were being beaten, he had a big long face and coming out. He's Billy Keane. Billy, oh, welcome to the programme.
Thanks very much, Weezy.
Did you get over it?
Yeah, I did, Weezy, yeah, but we've another go next Saturday night against the Croke, so we might still be in, you never know.
Anyway, Bill, away with you, my friend, about this man.
Ah, well, he was a great man. With great respect for him, which is, I think, the big thing about Johnny, you know, athletics and football, and as a teacher as well. He was, you know, everyone is talking about his football career, but he was a teacher, number one, and he was a great teacher, and he was never violent, never abusive. He had a bit of a temper, all right, occasionally it would flare up, but not...
No, Billy, don't be telling lies about it.
Yeah. Nasty way, but...
Could you give us an example, Billy, of that?
I'll give you one. I remember one particular story. I don't know, I was 16, and Paddy had joined us, and we were training for a Munster Colleges final, and we'd never been in one before, you know. And so I was with Robert Bunyan, who went on to captain the Kerry Miners afterwards, and Robert and myself were standing, and Johnny was giving a fierce lecture to the lads. Look, he said, we're in the Munster final. The school hasn't been in one since 57 or something. And he said, no late nights, no discos, and no drinking, and no sex. So Robert looked at me, and I looked at Robert, and it was about another 20 or 30 years before I engaged in that activity. So we felt a small bit left out. But
that's a conversation, Billy, I don't remember.
And he was very open with us, and we had a great relationship, and you could say what you wanted to him, you know, but there was never any... There was always a line there, you know.
Billy, sum him up in 10 words for me.
honest, great integrity, a lovely man, great football brain, and... very lucky to have been in St. Michael's while that great man was there.
Lovely. Well said, Billy Keane. Thank you for that, Billy.
Thank you very much, Billy.
Thank you. That was Billy Keane there. Lovely, Billy. Thank you for that, my friend. Of course, there was an awful lot of more people taught, which you, I've no doubt, gone through the years. There was people that someone probably did and gone now, John, that you might like to recall.
Well, the people I'd like to recall, I mean, obviously, I taught with a lot of very nice people, but the people I'd like to recall, and I just want to put it on the record, I mean, you get the impression that I was a kind of a one-man show. Well, I wasn't really in the school. John Mulnor started up the football in the school, and he trained the first winning team, a Dunlow Cup team, 1955. He came within a point of training the first O'Sullivan Cup winning team. They played four games against Killarney with two periods of extra time before they lost by a single point. Now, you can tot that up yourself, Weishi, and that's about 300 minutes of football. And there was one point, they were level 17 times, and they were just beaten by a single point, and but for that... They would have won it, you know. Yeah. And John was there for certainly the first 8 or 10 years. Then he got interested in greyhounds. Then he discovered golf. Yeah. And he always had the GGs, like, but this was another two GGs, like, that he had, you see, and he kind of got a bit distracted. But he came back afterwards and trained the Russell Cup team and a first-year team. Then you had, later on, then you had Jack Fitzgerald, Father Jack Fitzgerald, who's back in Beaufort now, Dunnock Crowley. They trained a Munster team, an intermediate team. Martin Lynch from Castle Gregory has trained that team to win twice and trained the Dunlow Cup team. There's a lad called Con Dillon from Abbeyfield who trained winning teams in the school as well. Mossy Carrig and Johnny Mulville had a Munster win 2 years ago, junior. And Liam Hassett, who's with us now, won the County Cup this year, you know. So I mean, I was on my own for about maybe the first roughly 20 or so years, but since then it has been you know, other people have come in and they have helped, and I just want to put that on the record.
And of course, John, outside of the school then, we could do a whole program in your school, like, but outside the school then, you were involved in Field Rangers, you were involved in the Kerry Colleges, and of course you reached a pinnacle then when you guided that Field Rangers team, you drove them to victory. Tell us what year that was.
Well, I don't know, did I drive them, we shared the day Kerry meet, to be honest with
you. Tell us about those men.
Well, that was a fantastic team. I never trained a team outside of the school, and until one night, Andy Mulnor, who was a neighbour of mine,
lovely man,
he was a great friend of mine, and he'd just taken over as chairman of the Field Rangers, and they were finding it difficult to find somebody, and Paddy O'Shea actually recommended me to him, and Andy came across and asked me if I trained them, and I did. And it was a fairly daunting task because, believe it or not, like, in the 89 years that the county championship had been in existence, no team which had players from our side of North Kerry had ever won the county championship. They hadn't won it when they were playing as the Field Rangers, which would be Listowel, Myvan, Finnoogue, St. Sinan's, Doha. Even when they were playing with the full North Kerry team, and they had great players, they hadn't actually won medals. I mean, if I tell you, like, the people like Con Brosnan or his two sons, Jim and Mick, Ernie Callaghan, you know, Tom Costello from Doha, Dermot Dillon, you know, great players like Gary McMahon and Tony McAuliffe and those from Listowel.
North Kerry never won a
county
champ. I remember those great North Kerry teams.
The Shannon Rangers did.
I remember our great friend Tony Gairn.
That's
was a goal for North Kerry.
Yes.
The great author and writer.
That's right.
We'll come to that. Anyway, go to that final. Who did you play in the final?
Well, we were beaten the first year in the final by the Shannon Rangers.
Yes, yeah.
Which was a very sore one, really, like, you know. And you were refereeing that match.
Don't point that finger at me.
I tell you, I have a crow to pluck with you about that one.
Listen,
you told me I could say what I like.
That's so long ago now. There's a smell of that crow. Don't pull out that crow.
All right. Well, they deserve to beat us. I'll tell you that. Whatever about anything else, they were better than us on the day, and they deserve to beat us.
Yes, I remember it well. They played kind of very shot football.
They played seven-a-side football in the first half, and they frustrated the life out of us when we had the wind. We didn't know what the hell to do.
Go on to the following year, you won it anyway, that's better.
Yeah,
but the following years,
everything fell into place for us, really. Yeah. The first year, Jim Deanahan broke his toe. Now, Jim was a great foot. Jim played cornerback for Kerry, but what people don't realise about Jim Deanahan was that he played all his life at midfield and in the forwards for the school and for his club around North Kerry.
Uh-huh.
He played midfield for the Field Rangers, and we had him here mark-to-mark Jackie Welsh, who was a superb footballer. He was as good as you could ever see. Man, that was blackguarded by Kerry selection committees, and I'd probably get killed for saying that. No, I don't care.
Entitled to see it, yeah.
But Jim broke his toe in the semi-final against Austin Stacks. We played him in the final. It was a mistake because he really wasn't mobile, you know. But the following year, we had all the luck, really, because in the semi-final, Mid Kerry were playing Stacks, and they were very... Stacks were fancy to beat them. But Mid Kerry got a goal in the last minute of the game and just sneaked in. But they lost two players. One lad was put off. Another fellow was injured. And then Paul Lynch tore his hamstring, you know. So... like, you know, the gods were on our side.
And when we come back, John, from the break, we're going to talk a little bit about the final. We have so much to talk about. Jerry Keane, originally from Ballylangford Rang, he was a member of the 74 team who won the Kerry Senior Colleges final, the Munster final. Jerry, thank you for that, my friend. And he said, thank you for the love of Irish. Lovely one. Best wishes to Johnny from Donald McCarthy Fieries. Behind every good man is a woman, and that's Angela in this case. Yes, indeed, Angela, and listen to me, thanks for leaving that husband in tonight and for letting him out every day and every night. I suppose, Angela, you were a football widow.
That's like what she was, boy.
Like a lot of the ladies we know.
Like the ladies.
Congrats to Johnny from John Hartnett and from the Listowel Emmets. Thank you for all your work. That's from Listowel. Delighted to hear the enthusiasm of a teacher and all the good things about teaching. Mary Carr, Golden, Tipperary, daughter of Tim Connor on his call. Mary, lovely to hear from you, Tipperary, where my father came from, great county, but you want to be pulling up your socks and then hurling a small bit up there. We're going for a short break. When we come back, we'll be reminding you about the voluntary cycle race, the 20th annual Ring of Kerry cycle race, and that'll be coming up Saturday the 5th of July 2 or 3, starting in the International Hotel. You can get your cards from Dennis Gainey, and this year the Friends of Abel and Tralee will be benefiting it, the Kerry branch of the Irish Kidney Association, the Killarney Counselling Centre and the Valentia Island Project. They're all benefiting out of it, and there's over £1.25 million raised already in the Ring of Kerry, and the 20th annual one is coming up on Saturday the 5th of July. So get on your bikes, get going, contact Dennis Gainey and you can get your entry form there. Stay with us on Terrace Talk. Welcome back to Terrace Talk. Brian Hurley's on sound, young Mr. Namaka's producing, and Linda, young Linda, the young teacher, she's taking calls. John, we're going to give away a few things before you talk to you. That fabulous book, I Am Kerry, by Valerie O'Sullivan. Give me a number there. Last week's and all is in this. Give me a number there between 1 and 20, sir.
17.
17. Who's going to win Valerie's book? It goes to Bill O'Sullivan of Coil B. Bill O'Sullivan and wife Ella Coil B, he wins the book. Lovely, Bill. Congratulations, my friend. You win the book, Bill. Now, give me another one for the voucher for €60, John. Number?
10.
10, number 10, 8, 9, 10. That goes to Mary O'Connor. Mary O'Connor, 60, the voucher. And what about the two tickets to Elvis, John? Who are we sent to
Number 5.
Number 5, right halfback. Is that right halfback, John?
That's right halfback.
Right halfback.
Right.
Who's the best right halfback you ever saw?
Paddy O'Shea,
the best right half back you ever saw.
Sean Murphy.
Who's the best footballer you ever saw?
Mick O'Connell.
Pat Guiney, you win the tickets to go to Elvis. I put down Elvis there. Mick O'Connell, the best you ever saw.
Absolutely.
John, that final, what did you win it by?
I think we won it by about 5 points. We had a wind in the first half, didn't make a lot of use of it, but we finished up, we were about 4 or 5 points in front. But in the second half, they played tremendously well. And if there was a Man of the Match award, it would have gone to Tim Kennelly that day.
Centre-back.
He was absolutely outstanding.
Was it a wet day?
It was a wet, windy kind of
a
day.
I was refing the final. I saw, you last won with me and you won one with me. Tim Kennelly was brilliant that
day. He was, absolutely.
He was superb, Johnny.
He was fantastic
in the second half.
It was, but there was no Man of the Match award in those times.
No, but do you know, Johnny, there wasn't. But the thing, that particular display by Tim Kennelly, for some reason, it stands out in my memory.
Yeah.
He was just... Yeah.
Well, I mean, you'd have expected Mid-Kerry to kind of come back at us in the second half because they had the wind and it was a strong wind, like. But I mean, they were just blown away, like, from the half back line up.
And there's more strings to your bow than teaching and athletics and football. Mm. You wrote a book.
I did for my sins.
Yeah, tell us quickly about that.
Well, I wrote a book about just the history of Listowel races. It started in the school, actually. There was if you remember, Bishop Casey started a thing called the Fly Project years ago. It was a full life for youth to try to get young people interested in their own localities. And I was teaching a civics class, and I asked them if they'd be interested. A group of young lads in the town said they would. So we thought all we had to do was go to the race company, and the race company would tell us all about it. And but they didn't actually know a whole lot about it when it came down to it. They had a report of the first race meeting, and they had an article that had been written by some guy. And if he was a doctor, he'd be struck off because he was... It was full of inconsistencies. So I did the project with them, and then I got interested and researched it in the county library. I spent the whole summer at it, and I just left it on the shelf for about 10 or 15 years. Then I finished it. Danny Hannan persuaded me to finish it.
I was in a second-hand bookshop there about 2 years ago. Thousands of books. There was only one book that I picked out, it was your book. Right. On the race. Wonderful book. And you're going to send in two books for our listeners.
I will,
it's out of print now, isn't it, John?
Yes, it is.
It's out of print. Talking about books and authors, and you're an author yourself, loads of them went through... St. Michael's, didn't they?
Well, I'm very reluctant to call myself an author, Rishi.
When you
compare me to the people who went through St. Michael's College.
Yeah.
I mean, they did. I mean, the most notables, like, would be Maurice Welsh, the Quiet Man, right, that's the one he's best known for, but he wrote a whole pile of books besides Dr. Brian McMahon, Dr. John B. Keane, then, of course, people like Gabriel Fitzmaurice, Tony Gahan, and then more recently of Tony Gearn, and you have two new young lads as well then, Christian O'Reilly and John McCall, four past pupils. But we're in the process actually of doing a wall in the school. We're going to get all the names, put them up on a plaque, and try to put up as many photographs as we can. At the moment we have 35 names of published authors in the school.
That must be a record for Ireland.
I wouldn't have an idea, but I'd be very surprised if there are too many people could pass that by. Really,
Johnny, I want to remind our listeners that next Tuesday night we have a two-hour special in Terrace Talk, starting at 6 o'clock, because next Friday night in the Killarney Park Hotel, Molly Darcy's, Liam O'Connor and Lisa are launching their DVD, their CD and their video. Liam O'Connor, one of the best musicians in the world. Mm-hmm. Terrace Talk have been invited to record the launch. There are 400 people coming from all over Ireland. All top knobs, as the fella says, in music will be there. And we'll be there in the middle of them recording a 2-hour Terrace Talk special, which will go out next Tuesday night. So that's something to watch out. And this programme goes out again, of course, next Sunday morning. Mm. John, Kerry College's football always meant a lot to you.
It did, yeah. Well, I mean, it started in 1953, as I say, when we began playing ourselves. Like, you know, up until then, we really knew nothing about it. But the Kerry Colleges started, it was Dr. Eamon O'Sullivan began the Kerry Colleges back in 1927. He called the schools together, organised it. He felt it was important. And he was the first secretary. They then, through his work, organised the Munster Colleges, and then they actually organised again the All-Ireland Colleges.
And it went on from there.
And it went on from there.
John and I'm pushing you along.
You're all right.
To the seat. By the way, it's Friday night in the Killarney Park, that's strictly invitation only. All the best in your retirement from Mary Donovan and family. Best wishes in your retirement from Michael Delane Cahardown. He was also a great doggy man and St. Vincent de Paul man in his day. Thank you, Johnny, for that. Best of luck, Johnny, from Steve Stack. As good a coach as ever came across. Looking forward to Friday night also. All the best in your retirement from Anne and Catherine, sister-in-law in New Jersey, and also brother-in-law Roland, niece. And Angela has the phone up against the radio. Oh, listen to me. Hello, everyone over there in New Jersey from Johnny. Johnny.
Hello, how are
Johnny,
you?
Johnny, might be a silly question. Did religion play a big part in your life?
It did, yes. I mean, I wouldn't ever claim that I'm any better or any holier than anyone else.
Like, regrets, Johnny?
Did.
Regrets?
We lost an All-Ireland final, a colleges final in about 1986 or 87 on a day above in Tullamore when the wind, and the 2nd of May when a gale of wind blew.
You going to do in your retirement? Quick.
What am I going to do in my retirement? Yeah. I'm going to enjoy it as much as I can, of course. I don't know, I might write a little bit again. Yeah. I'm not positive.
And spend more time with Angela.
Well, we spend more time at home. We'll have more time to get around and...
Will Kerry win the All-Ireland?
I've seen nothing yet so far to make me think that they would.
Johnny Flaherty, the last Listolman I had in here, I said this to, was John B. Keane. Johnny Flaherty, you're an officer and a gentleman, a good judge of football, and listen to me, you're one in a million. Thanks for everything you've done for Kerry football, for the students of Kerry everywhere, and long may you enjoy your retirement, because I tell you, you're a lovely man.
Thank you very much, Pete.